1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to pick up where we left off last time in verses, beginning with verse 9, and we'll be reading through all the way through the end of the chapter to verse 23. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will reveal it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, well, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. So, as we're studying through 1 Corinthians, we're reading about Christian living in a carnal world. And this morning specifically, we're in chapter 3 in verses 9 through 23 where we're reading Build as One for One, part 2. So you'll never guess what last week's title was. Build as One for One, part 1. A lot of ones in there. But this morning we're told to build as one for one, and this is the second part of this chapter. Now, to catch us all up to speed, there was conflict and divisions within the church in Corinth. In chapter 1, verse 11, we read, "It has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household." Apparently, those of Chloe's household were snitching, telling on the church of Corinth to the Apostle Paul. And they said, "Hey, Paul, you got a lot of problems there in Corinth, a lot of division, a lot of fighting, a lot of arguing and all." And he says that there are contentions among you. Now, the overall reason of why they were contending with each other and dividing into these separate groups was that they were simply carnal, fleshly minded, and fleshly active. In chapter 3, verse 1, we read last week, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." And these people had known Jesus for quite some time, but yet, even though they had gained a lot of knowledge, they were still very infantile in their faith. And so Paul, again, he calls them babes in Christ. They had knowledge, but they were spiritually immature. They were like selfish children. They thought they knew it all, but yet they were really ignorant of the most important thing of all, which is love. Love for God and love for one another. And so they're in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food." There are some things in the Scripture that are compared to the milk of the Word for young believers and easy to understand and digest spiritually. But then there is the solid food, the meat of God's Word, those things that deal more with doctrines and with some of the more spiritual things. And he says, I fed you with milk originally, not with solid food, because you were not able to receive it. And even now, after about 2 or 3 years of them walking with Jesus, even now they were still not able, for you are still carnal. And carnality will keep us in a state of infancy spiritually. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Why is there division within our country? It's carnality. People behaving like mere men. Of course, those in the world, they are mere men. They cannot be spiritual because they have not been born again. They can't think on a spiritual level. All they can think on is a carnal level. And so they say, oh, there's division in our country. Well, we've got to come together. Well, those are nice thoughts, but it's never going to happen. As long as people remain carnally minded, there will never be unity. There will never be oneness. There will never be what people are hoping for. Because all of those things are accomplished in Jesus Christ. And if people won't come to faith in Jesus, bottom line is the division will be there. It will continue to be there all the way up to the leading of the Antichrist. And that's where everything is headed to this day. It's all headed to that inevitability, that inevitable consequence of the man of sin rising up, who will be a deceiver and a liar, saying, I have the answers for the divisions. I have the answer for the world's problems. I can solve all of, you know, just like we heard all the political candidates saying, you know. Well, there's going to be one person who actually deceives the world. I don't plan on being here during that time. I plan on being raptured on out of here before that happens. But he will deceive the world. And what we see today, the divisions, the deep divide that exists is because it's all moving toward that. Toward the seven-year tribulation during which the Antichrist will wreak havoc over the earth. But that's another study for another. That's not even in my notes. Those are bonus things for you, by the way. I sure hope you're blessed. So anyway, and people then were still not able to handle even these things. And, you know, you say these things to some believers, and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? I don't understand. Not just because they're Southerners. Like, forgive me for doing this. I do a Yankee act. Whoa, what do you mean by that? Yo, bada-bing. I don't know. So, okay, we're good there. I've offended everybody equally well. So you're still carnal, and that's the problem with our world. Carnality, selfishness, what's in it for me sort of an attitude. I want me to be blessed now, and therefore we're not mindful of other people. And that's what we expect from the world, but when that creeps into the church, which it ought not to be in there, that's what causes divisions, infightings, cliques, church splits. You know, in Corinth, they were divided over which Bible teacher they liked best. In verse 4, it says, when one says, I'm of Paul, well, I have adopted the Pauline persuasion. And another says, I'm of Apollos. I've been trained in the school of Apollos in his theological seminary. He says, are you not carnal? You're identifying with men. You know, this carnal mindset still plagues the church greatly today. If we say, I'm a Calvinist, or I'm an Arminian, or I'm a Baptist, I'm a Lutheran, I'm an Episcopalian, I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Calvary Chapelite. If we divide ourselves like that, if we distinguish ourselves like that, we are dividing ourselves from the rest of the body of Christ, which is contrary to the heart of Jesus. Because Jesus prayed that we would be one. All his people would be one, even as he and his Father were one. Paul went on to say that he and Apollos, they weren't in competition. They were on the same team. They were working together in God's field. God has one field, one building, so to speak. God has one thing, his one kingdom on earth. And all ministers and all ministries that believe in Jesus as their Savior and Lord, who believe that the Bible is indeed the one and only Word of God, we're all on the same team. We might do things a little differently from one another, but that doesn't divide. That's just different stripes for different types, different flavors for different tastes. It's no big deal. But when one person emphasizes their doctrinal slant, their higher learning, and it causes division within the body. That's a problem. And I've noticed over these last several, 37 years of walking with Jesus, the more complex one's theology becomes, if they're not careful, the more divisive they become. They think they know a lot, but yet they divide themselves from others in the body of Christ. We're all on the same team. Yeah, individually we have different functions, different ministries, but collectively we make up one field of God, one building of God. In verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants, he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. I love this point. I want to reemphasize it as I did last week. You and I are rewarded not for what we achieve, but for whether or not we were, I hope we're not rewarded for what we achieve, but rather we are rewarded for whether or not we were faithful. See, success is God's business. Faithfulness is ours. And God will reward the person who's been faithful to do his or her ministry for years and years and years, but maybe doesn't have anything to show for it. Jeremiah the prophet, he ministered for 40 years. How many converts did he have? Zero. How did his ministry end up? He was in the pits, man. Literally, you know what I'm talking about? A deep, dark, mucky, miry pit that he was put in. All for his trouble, his faithful ministry to the Lord. But great is his reward in heaven, not because he was successful, but because he was faithful. We are to do our part and trust God to do his. That brings us to chapter 3, verse 9, where we read that the church is God's field, and not just the individual church building or individual church thing, but the entire body of Christ, which we now, for our sake of discussion, will consider Calvary Chapel Bartlett, because this is where we are this morning. If you were trying to get to a different church and you got lost and are here, then, you know, I'm glad you're here. But we're going to talk about our fellowship right here, right now. We, Calvary Chapel Bartlett, God's field and God's building. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. Again, there's no division in Paul's mind or Apollos' mind between him and in each other. They were just each part of the larger body of Christ. You, verse 9, are God's field. You are God's building. Now, he's writing to the Corinthians. That particular church was a collective unity, a singular entity, and is being compared here to God's field or God's building. Now, maybe you're a farmer. You can relate to God's field. We have one field. A lot of different workers, but they all have the same goal, to plow and plant and irrigate and grow stuff, whatever it might be, corn, soybeans, cotton, whatever it might be. Many different individuals, but yet one field. Well, the church is like that. Lots of different individuals, but one entity, one unit. Also, maybe you're into construction. You can relate more to the building analogy. You know, we got one building we're building here. Oh, we have a lot of different trades. You got the concrete guys, got the plumbers, got the electricians, got the carpenters, got the painters, carpet layers, all of them. Different people doing different things, but yet working on the one building. That's what the church should be. Everybody finding out what his or her particular calling is, and then faithfully doing it for this one building, this one field here at Calvary Chapel Bartlett. According to the grace of God, verse 10, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And later on we'll read that there's only one foundation that can be laid that will last forever, and that's Jesus Christ. When Paul came to Corinth, he said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He simply preached the simple gospel simply. And that was the foundation that was laid. And another builds on it. Then Apollos came. After Paul left, Apollos came and he began to minister to the people, building on that foundation. But then notice, this is a word of warning to all of us. Let each one take heed how he builds on it. Notice the word how, not what, because we could read this and say, take heed what you build on it. Well, make sure that your wall is straight and that your drywall is secure. No. He's not saying what you're building. He's saying how you build. Have you ever worked for a boss that's a happy guy and encouraging and, you know, makes work bearable? And have you worked for a boss who's just a grumpy old fuss bucket, you know, raising hands, going up all over the place? You've worked for, it makes life miserable, doesn't it? You could be doing the same thing, but for different bosses, and one day you're enjoying it with that guy, but then this other person, you hate life. And it's not what is being done, it's, come on, say it, how it's being done. The same in the body of Christ. If our goal is to build something, do a program, those might be fine goals, but we need to take heed how we do it, not just what we do, but how we do it. Because in God's kingdom, our attitudes are everything. God cares more about our relationships than he does about our results. I'm going to say that because there's a couple key R words in there. God cares more about our relationships than he does about our results. Now, we that are men are thinking, I don't know that I like that. Because that means that God cares more about how I treat my wife than what I get done for her around the house. And I'm more comfortable doing stuff around the house than I am trying to just sit there and listen. Because when I listen and she says things, then I want to fix her. And then she gets mad at me because she doesn't want to be fixed, but I'm a fixer. See what I'm saying? And so in effect, let me ask you a question. What would you prefer? A husband who gets things done but is gruff and cold and runs roughshod over the family? Or would you prefer a husband who maybe doesn't get a whole lot accomplished, but yet he's kind, he's tender, he's a good listener, one who truly shows that he loves his wife and loves the kids? Amen. There you go. Problem solved. Okay, men, you want to give your wife a good Christmas present? Tell her you're sorry and then promise you're going to start listening to her. Well, the women are just getting in on this, so there you go. So even so, the Lord tells us, now again, dealing with the church here, God's field, God's building, and by the way, it's not a physical field, physical building. We collectively make up God's building, God's field. The Lord tells us to be very careful how we go about doing what we do in God's field, in God's building, because God cares much more about how we treat one another rather than how much we get accomplished. Now again, in verse 11, no foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Continuing to use the building analogy. Only one foundation. You don't have two or three or five foundations on a house. Just need one. In God's kingdom, there's only one foundation, and it's Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, eternal God, who at a point in time took on human flesh, being born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, and then eventually died on the cross, but while so doing, paid for the sins of humanity. And then 3 days later, rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and me right now. And he's coming again in great glory to establish his kingdom over the earth that will never end, in which there will be no sin, no pain, no suffering. A time of glory such as we can't even begin to possibly imagine. That's the foundation of our faith. It's all about Jesus. Now, verse 12, if anyone builds on this foundation, so the foundation's laid, but now we are called to build. By the way, your salvation is a free gift. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So salvation is free for the believing. However, We were never called to be spectators or pupitators. We were called to be participants. We are all called to, now that we are saved, in light of the fact that we are already saved, our names are written in the book of life, now we are all called to do something in the body of Christ, and for you and me specifically, to this particular body that we call home, Calvary Chapel Bartlett. Now, if you build on this foundation, so you're here as a builder, if you're building on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, and then he says wood, hay, and straw, so you have three superior things and three inferior things, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Day, by the way, capital D, that's speaking of judgment day. Because it, our works, what we have done, and the way we've done it, will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Again, Jesus is the foundation of the church. Each individual church member is supposed to be building upon that foundation to add to and grow the body of Christ. If we're being faithful to God by loving one another and preaching the simple gospel simply, then we are building with gold, silver, precious stones. That which will not only pass through the fire and remain, but even be purified through the fire. But if we're here building and we're carnal, thinking only of the fleshly things, well, it works this way in the world. We ought to get these business CEOs coming in here to tell us how to run the church. Or we're thinking along the other lines of the flesh. We're being divisive, emphasizing our own private interpretation of Scripture, our own doctrinal slant, trying to get other Christians to side with us. Hey, I think that this is the more intelligent approach. I've heard some people come in, they'll say, well, it is a reasonable faith to believe this way. Well, yeah, but there are some who don't see it that way. And now you think you're superior, and what you've done is you've divided yourself from others who you now in your own heart think are inferior, and that's not cool. That's not Jesus. He's praying we'd be one. And so as long as it's not an essential doctrine, and there are very many essential doctrines, and I mentioned all those about Jesus, plus the Bible being the Word of God, and the Trinity, there's one God revealed himself in three persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, on those essentials, we must all be agreed, or else we cannot have fellowship. And in the essentials, if a person doesn't believe them all, then it's not we who are being divisive. It's they have failed to truly be born again, failed to truly come to the faith of the God of the Bible. But there are other things, gray areas. Can Christians do this? Can Christians do that? What is the acceptable clothing? You know, some people get all hung up over those things. Should we have pews or these portable chairs? Should there be carpet in the sanctuary? You know, some people get their clothes wrapped around that axle, and they get all upset over, you know, the color of paint. People divide over the silliest things. Well, those are people who are building with wood, hay, and straw. Those that are emphasizing their own doctrines or hung up over the fleshly things that are around us, they're building with wood, hay, and straw. And one day, all of our works are going to be judged by fire. And whatever remains will be our heavenly reward. So we got this building, this body, I should say, body of Christ. Each one of us are building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. How you build will determine whether or not you have heavenly reward. How you go about doing it will determine whether or not you will have heavenly reward. If anyone's work, verse 14, which he has built on it endures, passes through the fire, remains, he will receive a reward. That's cool. You know, the Bible speaks of heavenly reward, uses it even as a motivation. God promises to reward. Now, you and I, we're thinking, reward? What does that mean? I don't know. And really, I don't know specifically what heavenly reward will be. So for me right now, it might not be that important. because they don't know much about it. But in heaven, it's going to be very important. And so I received that. I embraced that thought. In heaven, it will be very important. Therefore, it should be very important to me now. Doing what I do, the way I do it, to lay up the most treasure in heaven. Because then, it's going to matter. It's going to matter a lot. Now, in verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, so let's say you had bad attitude, run roughshod over people. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire, or as we might put it, by the skin of his teeth. And will there be people in heaven who will be saved? They're there, but they don't have any heavenly reward. Quite possibly. You know, people that, instead of standing on the premises, they are more sitting around the premises. People who just weren't engaged, weren't serving, weren't doing. They were busy with lots of other carnal things that don't matter. And let me tell you something, gang. Satan has done an excellent job in our country of making people busy. Of making people so busy, especially if you have young kids. Oh man, so much to do. Sports and band and cheerleading and extracurricular activities and fundraising for public education. And so, when I was a kid, we never did that. As I rode my dinosaur to and from home, you know, way back in the day. You know, I'd never go around and say, I'm raising fund for my school, you know, and so, you know, I'm putting all my effort into this. And I can't go to church because I have this thing and this meeting and this activity, and I can't really fellowship, can't commit myself to the church because I'm committed over here. I'd rather focus on the wood, hay, and straw that's going to burn up on Judgment Day rather than serving the body of Christ with gold, silver, and precious stones. Now, whether people put it in those terms or not, that's what's being done. Let's just be honest. How much of our activity is truly gold, silver, precious stones versus wood, hay, and straw that's all going to burn up one day? I remember as a young Christian, we'd always say, it's going to burn. Somebody get a new car and, you know, deep down we're jealous, but yet trying to sound spiritual. Well, you know, it's going to burn. And it is. You know, I wasn't rejoicing with those who were rejoicing. I was weeping over those who were rejoicing, and that was carnal. That was wrong. But still the same, well, it's going to burn. Hey, don't love that thing so much. It's going to burn. It's all wood, hay, and straw. But what we do for the Lord and the way we do it, that will remain forever. So right now, self-assessment. Pretend you're looking in the mirror. Ask yourself, my life, what am I doing? Is it gold, silver, precious stones? Is it investing, building in the body of Christ? Or is it wood, hay, and straw? I'm just kind of doing what I do for me, for my own little world, my own little kingdom. Because, you know, Judgment Day is coming for us. Now, it's not going to determine heaven or hell. That's already been taken care of in Jesus Christ. But Heavenly Reward Judgment Day is coming for every believer. The Bible says each one of us will give an account to God on Judgment Day. And I'd be remiss as a pastor if I didn't warn us all, myself included, you and I, we're going to have some alone time with Jesus, and all that's going to matter is what we did for him and the way we did it. Nothing else is going to matter. Oh, I see, your child was very accomplished as you pushed him or her into all those different activities. Good job. No, none of that's going to matter. The only thing that will matter is whether or not we serve the Lord and got our families involved in serving the Lord. And there are plenty of opportunities to do so. Even here at Calvary Chapel Bartlett. Do you not know? Apparently they didn't. That's why he says, don't you know this? Well, I guess not. Do you not know that you are... Now, these are scriptures that are so many times taken out of context, but we will read this in the context. By the way, a scripture taken out of context is a pretext. It then becomes something for the minister or the other interpreter to mean what they want it to mean as opposed to what the scripture is saying. He's talking about we are all one field, we're God's field, we're all one building. And then he compares this oneness that we have here as a temple. We are all one temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Individually, that's true, but again, the context is the body, the whole church, collectively as one unit. Now he says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, and this would be the person who is divisive, who is carnal, they're doing damage to the body, then God will destroy him. I don't know what the spiritual connotations of that exactly are, but I will say this. To be destroyed by God is not a good thing. Okay? If anyone defiles the temple, somebody's trying to sow seeds of discord and division, God's going to destroy them. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? You are a holy temple of God. We've been built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ with a pure heart, loving one another, preaching to the lost. But again, here in verse 17, God is warning, do not be a defiler, because all defilers will be destroyed by God. Now, what does this mean to be a defiler of the temple of God? Because I've heard many people read this passage, and then they'll go up to somebody who smokes and say, you are defiling the temple of God. Somebody drinks alcohol, you are defiling the temple of God. Someone who goes to the beach, you are defiling the temple of God. Some think that this refers to smoking or drinking or some other bad physical thing. But I would ask those people who interpret it that way, what about candy bars and soda and fast food and pork rinds, which seem to be very popular around this region? You see, here's the deal. You can't just single out one physically bad thing and then ignore the other bad things. If you were interpreting this verse, may I politely say wrongly, saying that, oh, this is the thou shalt not smoke verse, thou shalt not drink verse, thou shalt not chew nor go with girls who do verse. And brother, sister, you need to read this in context. And you need to ask yourself, what about my life? What am I putting into my body? But clearly in the context of this chapter, defiling the temple has to do with destroying the unity and the oneness in the body of Christ by somebody being carnal and thus creating division within a church body. And if anybody is about trying to do that, need to believe what I believe, and I think the pastor's wrong, and let me tell you, you know, I think y'all are wrong. No. Those are the person who are defiling the temple. In verses 18 through 23, we're told, don't be deceived into division. Don't be deceived. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, you know, the people that are worldly minded, they've gotten ahead in this life, they know stuff, they really communicate how well they know stuff. You know people like that? Aren't they a lot of fun to be around? They take on that position of mental, intellectual authority and just kind of look down their nose at you. Aren't they fun to be around? Because I am a professional. I have a degree with lots of letters after my name. I know stuff and you poor people don't. Anyone seems to be like that, well, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. You know, it's a fool who educates himself only in worldly things at the expense of educating himself or herself in spiritual things. How much of the Bible do you know? You know, the Bible is all about Jesus. The more Bible we know, the more we know Jesus. That's why the Old Testament is so important. The study of the Old Testament and New Testament, because it's all about Jesus. And so the wise in this world who spent all of his or her time gaining all this knowledge and stuff that's wood, hay, and straw, that's foolish, isn't it? So become a fool according to things of the world that you may become wise in spiritual things. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It is written, and he quotes first from Job chapter 5, verse 13, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. That's what's going to happen to those guys. And verse 20, and again in Psalm 94, verse 11, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Here's the deal. The wisdom of the world is all about winning, being number one, beating out the competition. That's the wisdom of the world. What do I need to do in order for me to come out on top? And if we're not careful, this carnal mindset can even creep into the church. It can even creep into our homes, where you have the husband wanting things his way and the wife wanting things her way and the kids wanting things their way. Who's number one? Well, that's division. That's discord. That is defiling the temple. You know, we've been talking about the church. Let's talk about our home for a second. In your home, is there somebody who's pushing to win? If so, that's a person who's carnal. And they're creating division. Oh, they may look at the others. How come you're not following me? You know, typically men will do that. Submit, woman! You know, it's biblical. Really? You're going to pull that? You know, play the S card, submit card? Earlier it says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, sacrificing himself. So husbands are to sacrifice of themselves for the well-being of their wives. What about that? And so when we're pushing for winning, we're worldly mindsetted, if that's even a word, setted. We are carnally minded. Therefore, let no one boast in men. Verse 21. Don't be divided up over these different people and different ideologies. That's carnally minded. Is mine's better than yours, sort of an attitude. My Paul is better than your Apollos. My Calvinism is better than your Arminianism. My Lutheran is better than your Episcopalian. My whatever is better than yours. No, no, no. Don't boast in men. For all things are yours. We should be able to receive from all ministers who claim Jesus as their Savior and Lord and simply teach the word simply. Should be able to receive from lots of different people. Whether Paul, verse 22, or Apollos, or Cephas, another word for Peter, Simon Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. We don't have to pick and choose. Everything is ours. We can enjoy from many of them. God has created people of different types and different stripes, which is why God has created different styles of ministries to minister to the many different types of people. But regardless of different types of ministries, all ministries are still part of God's one field and God's one building. And just look, you know, looking around, though we're low today, the weather and whatever, people are sick. We had a 50-degree temperature change yesterday. In less than 24 hours, we had a 50. It's amazing that any of us are alive. And I applaud you for not coughing and sneezing and blowing your noses a lot. That's great. You're strong. You've overcome. A lot of empty chair wimps that aren't here because they were overcome by the temperature change. Bless their hearts. See, I can say they're wimps if I add to it, bless their hearts. But we're all different. Some of us are very different, but collectively one. We don't have to choose one over the other. We're all one in Christ, and everybody belongs to each other. We can benefit from everybody, and you are Christ's. You know, the Baptist church down the road, they're Christ's too. The Methodist church, a few miles away, they belong to Jesus. They may do things differently than we do. We're all part of one body. And Christ is God's. There's that unity, that oneness that Jesus prayed that we would have, the unity that he and his Father have always had. It's a beautiful prayer there in John's Gospel. I pray, Lord, that they would be one just as we are one. So, God help us all in our families, in the church, and in the entire body of Christ to seek for unity and oneness. Not with those who don't believe. Let me be very clear. I am not interested in being unified in one, that coexist bumper sticker. If you have that, I respectfully want to say to you, that'll never happen. because my Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost, and the God of the Muslims says, go out and kill infidels. I'm sorry, but there is a vast difference, and there will be no unity there. But in Jesus, over the one foundation, we are one in Him. And we build on this foundation by loving one another, by preaching the gospel, by bringing more people here to hear the word of God. And as we do so, we're building with gold, silver, and precious stones. And on the day of judgment, when that holy fire reveals what sort of works we have done, we will have a heavenly reward. But if we're carnal, competitive, arrogant, doing things that cause division and damage to the unity that we have in Jesus, then we're building with wood, hay, and straw. And it's all going to burn up. Guys, it's all about God's field. It's all about God's building, the church, the body of Christ. May we all be faithful farmers in God's field, compassionate contractors in God's building. Each one of us faithfully doing his or her part, trusting God with the results, and all the while encouraging others as well to step up and do what God has called them to do. So again, today, self-assessment. Not just what am I building, but how am I building? Am I a blessing or am I a burden? Am I building with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw? Am I doing my part, or am I just sitting back letting others do my part? Father, thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that our salvation is free. It costs you everything, but it's free to us. But Lord, our heavenly reward, as you have made clear, that is kind of our duty, our service unto you and our love toward one another. And so, Lord, I do pray for anyone here this morning who doesn't know where they fit, what they should do. Lord, first of all, you would give them the want to, because no one else can put the want to in anybody. But when we decide to bring our want to, then you give us the power of the Spirit to do. And so, Lord, for anybody here that is not engaged, I pray you would speak to them about the want to. I believe you just have. And then, Lord, you'd also lead them in the what to do and also in the how to do it. Lord, I pray that we would be focused upon building up one another in the love and the oneness that we have in you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow, some way, that would be what we would all do. And Lord, you would build this body as you see fit. Lord, here we are. Do with us as you wish. We again thank you for this morning. And now, Lord, may we go forth as faithful farmers, conscientious, compassionate contractors. And may we invest our lives in working in your field, in your building. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Shall we stand?